Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Stonic. You're closer than you think to a 202 Stonic with flexible finance plans from your local Kia dealer.
And Joe at RTE.ie. Kim Fox. Kim, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
You're very brave coming forward like this, Kim. You really are, given what you've been through.
But well, that's it. It's just waking up yesterday to the papers, the shock to think that he's getting out a year before his time, you know. I just feel like the system has let me down.
His name is Paul Barry. He was your partner for 8 years. He's from Ballybrack in Dublin. He pleaded guilty to assaulting you, his partner at the time, at your home in Loughlinstown just 2 weeks before Christmas in 2018. Can you tell us what he did to you, Kim? Because I then want to reveal to listeners the sentence he got.
Well, basically, he got the most in Ireland for domestic abuse. The most in Ireland is 5 years. He got 38 months. That's basically 3 years and 8 months.
Okay.
Thank God I've no kids with him, do you know what I mean? It went on for 8 years, the abuse, but like, the court only heard the one night that what happened to me. Mm-hmm. It was hard. It was, like, at the moment it is hard to realise he's getting out so early, do you know, that way. I just feel like the system let me down, as I said. But, the night a question was, I just had enough. I told him, it's finished, we're over. He always said, if you end things, he'll end me. You know, all this stuff. So, yeah. So I went to my mother's birthday party and we were having a few drinks with our friends in her house, and then we ended up going to the pub, and he came into the pub and he demanded money off me, which I told him no, he wasn't getting any money off me because he was at the Robin 400 euro on my account previous before that. That's the day before I found out. I told him I wanted him out to pack his bags. He had to go.
For robbing. That was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah, that was basically it. I done it. Like, you don't take from my kids now. No way. Just don't take money that I worked for hard for, you know. So, yeah, basically, he walked in and demanded money in the pub, and I said, no, you're not getting the money. And I went home, and he stayed in the pub, and he caused a row with young lads or whatever. That's what I heard. So I came home and I went to bed, and I sleep with the light on, and I heard the door about 2 o'clock in the morning, and boom, 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 up the stairs he came and knocked me clean out. So I don't remember what he physically done to me.
I mean, he punched you?
He punched me. He knocked me teeth out.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Basically, he stood all over me face. The blood, the hair, the forensic team came. They said the hair was found everywhere, all over the room. So literally, he must have dragged me around the room, repeatedly kicking me in the face, that broke me ribs. Oh, he left me in an awful way. My daughter came home. She was actually at the party herself. She was in her friend's house. So she came home. She don't know what it was. She just said she was staying in her friend's house, but came home. And she walked upstairs. She said he was sitting on the sofa with a cigarette in his hand, as calm as that. And she said, where's my mum? He said, she's in bed. Don't go near the room. So she went up and she seen the light was off. So she turned it on real quick and seen that I was placed in the bed where it was. She couldn't recognise me face. She said the blood was everywhere. So she went in and he came up the stairs after and she said, what are you doing? She said, I'm just looking for a light or something stupid. So she went into her room and said to her friend, my ma's dead, you know, she's dead in the bed. So she rang the guards. So the guards came and he wouldn't let them in. He basically barricaded the door. He left me to die in the bed, you know. Yeah. And she jumped out the window with the keys and the guards, they took him off. Yeah, I was in hospital for a few days. I had plastic surgery on my face, my ribs. I was in an awful state. But to wake up yesterday to find out that he's getting out a year and 2 months early, I was just in shock. Just in shock.
And I know that there was a photograph yesterday in the Star, in Paul Healy's report, of your injuries. Absolutely horrific. Absolutely.
Oh, they were only light to compare to what the actual injuries really came out, that the bruise and what didn't even come out on those pictures. It was pretty bad. The bruising was pretty bad. But
after savagely assaulting you, he pulled the door behind him and went downstairs.
Yeah. He left me in the bed in a pool of blood. He must have placed me back in the bed. She said the way I was placed, the duvet was coming up towards me neck and my hair was, she said, my hair, I have black hair. And she said, my hair was that full of blood. It was literally red. She said she just thought I was dead. She just didn't know what way to deal with it, you know. Now, my daughter, she's expecting a baby in October. And the stress that she feels, you know, that she'd find me like that, knowing that he's getting out now as well. You know, it's just, it's shocking. The system really has let me down.
Soft tissue damage to your upper body and face. That's serious enough. A fractured eye socket, three fractured ribs, and two missing teeth, and in hospital for 3 days.
Yeah. But and I had plastic surgery done on my face as well.
Oh God.
I was in two hospitals as well. I had to get one sent to another hospital to get the plastic surgery done. You know, so it's just to wake up yesterday to that news, it's just absolutely shocking.
And where did you first hear the news that he was being released?
The night before, Paul was at the contact me stating that they contacted Weefield Prison and they said he's been released in December. Mm-hmm. That did I know. I said, no, the police weren't in contact with me because the police that's dealing with my case, there's a panic button. They're actually getting me a panic button because they know how much of a danger he is.
Wow.
I'm actually calling on the Minister for Justice. I know we have a new woman minister to stop his release because she's the only one that can help me right now.
So he got 38 months. The assault happened on, as I say, a couple of weeks before Christmas, and it looks like he's getting out.
Yeah.
38 months is what, three years and 2 months?
3 years and 8 months.
So he's getting out just under, what, he's getting out 2 years. He's getting out after 2 years. So he's getting out 14 months early.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Well, I know he'd done some time in custody, which was taken off, but basically it's a year and 2 months he should be doing extra, and it's just terrific the way he's getting out of Christmas, to celebrate Christmas. It's just not right. This happened at Christmas, as you can imagine. The past few Christmases have been very hard because it brought back all the memories, and now to think that he's getting out to celebrate Christmas, it's just wrong. It's just so wrong.
And we can't prejudge anybody. You might have reformed in prison. Hopefully you did.
No, there's no way. I mean, I've had talks with ex-care partners and he's had hit them in the past. But no, he's a danger to me and he's also a danger to any other girl. God love the girl that gets with him next, because I'm telling you now, they'll be signing our deaths certificate, because it's just, it's vile. The things I had to go through with him in the 8 years, like, it's just, it's horrific, you know.
And can you give us a glimpse, Kim, because it is, and it's often said and written about, it is so difficult to get away from them, isn't it?
Do you know what it is, Joe? To be quite honest with you, people out there say, why didn't you walk away? Why don't you walk away? Do you know what? I just want to actually scream at them and say to them, listen, you don't know till you're in that situation. I mean, I have a brother with three kids. If I had went to my brother and told my brother what he was doing to me, my brother would be serving time right now.
No,
you know, I have a big family. I come from a big family. I was terrified because what they would do, you know, they'd end up in prison.
Okay, well, they're good people. They wouldn't, hopefully they wouldn't have done that. But
you're
using it to give it an example of how
how
badly treated you were. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, to come forward because of different reasons, you know. I was terrified to tell my family.
But that's are you still terrified of him? You must be.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like, I know for a fact he always said to me, if I can't have you, no one else will. I mean, there was one time when I threw him out and I was going out with my friends the weekend, and he knew I'd had a few drinks, so I'd sleep, so he broke into my bedroom window, put a load of newspapers between my legs, took a photograph and sent it to me. If I don't take him back, he's going to burn me and my kids in the house. Like, so what do I do? Like,
He broke into your house.
Yeah.
He put newspapers on your body.
Yeah. Took a picture and said, the next time I'll set you on fire if you don't take me back. I mean, people don't realise, like, I'm a strong person, but there is stronger out there that can bully you into do stuff like that. Like, I was terrified, as I said, to tell my family, because I know they would have done something. They'd get into trouble for it. But, you know, it's just, you can't win. As I said, I'm actually calling on the minister to stop this release, early release, because the judge did say on the day of court that he will serve his time and he will not be released early. But now he's been released early and I just don't understand.
Good point.
You know, it's just crazy. Actually, a girl I met this morning, Priscilla Granger, she has a page. She's helped an awful lot of girls with domestic abuse. And if anyone out there is suffering from domestic abuse, please contact her. She is brilliant. And especially with the lockdown, she's helped an awful lot of women.
Okay. And was it fairly evident after you first were together and met each other, that he was violent, Kim?
No, it didn't happen till about 2 years into the relationship. Two years. It was the first time I got a smack. Yeah. Then I got an apology. Then I got a new fireplace. You know, all this stuff. That's what happens. Like, you get something new and they're like, oh, your house looks great and this looks great. And, you know, but you don't realise what I got to get that, you know. Yeah, you just don't tell people, you know.
But Kim, people would admire what you're doing and the fact that you're so public for a reason. But are you not afraid even more that, like, they've radios in Weetfield Prison?
Oh, yeah.
He'll hear about this.
Let him. And I hope he's seen the paper as well.
Because the photograph is there as well, yeah.
Yeah, no, I am terrified. Yeah, he will come back to finish me off, but I'm just getting it out there now. I'm not being bullied anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I'm standing up to him. This time I'm standing up to him. And it's to help any other people out there that's going through what they're going through. I'll help them as well. But I'm not being bullied by him anymore.
And you mentioned that the guards arrived at the door. You're lying, having been savagely beaten in the bed upstairs, blood pumping out of you, teeth gone, fractured ribs. And thankfully your daughter was extraordinarily smart and wasn't...
So brave,
like her mother. And But when the guard arrived, he wouldn't let them in. But your daughter jumped out the window.
Yeah.
I hope it was a ground floor window, was it?
Yeah, well, yeah, okay. But
she had the intelligence to grab a set of keys, jump out the window so the guardie could get in.
Yeah.
And did he admit immediately what he'd done to you?
No, he was in two courtrooms. We were in Clover Hill once and he said he didn't do it, that I fell down the stairs. And then he lied, said I fell in the bathroom. So he lied on two occasions in two different courtrooms. But when I went to the High Court, he pleaded guilty. Because he knew he was, the evidence against him was just the pictures, the forensics. He knew what he was in for then. That's when he pleaded guilty. So he did lie at the start and said, no, she fell down the stairs. And then I fell in the bathroom. So the stories were changing, you know.
Of course. And you know when he said, which is so typical of abusers, when it happens forced. I'm thinking of Roddy Doyle's family, probably dramatised the best at that TV series many, many years ago. When they hit you forced...
Yeah.
They do. There is contrition, isn't there? They say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it.
Yeah,
I'll buy you this. I'll be good. I won't. I'll take the kids to the zoo or whatever nonsense they come out with." I used to work with him when I was a probation officer, but when he savagely assaults you, and I'm talking about the most recent one. Obviously, there's been other cases as well, right? Did he after he was found guilty? Did he even say, "I'm sorry"?
No. He showed no remorse at all. No remorse whatsoever.
He didn't write you from prison saying, listen, I've thought about it, I've gone on courses here, I realise I've an anger problem, say the least.
He doesn't care, he doesn't have remorse, you know, he just doesn't have remorse at all what he'd done.
And how did you meet him?
I was with my kid's father for a long time. We were together for 17 and a half years. As I said, he's a gentleman. We never even fought. Like, you know, we had our arguments but true friends, really. And at a local pub and stuff. But I never known him to done anything like that before. I mean, I think he brought me down. It was in the 2 years. Like, he would start with the name calling and, like, commenting what I was dressing and calling me overweight and stuff like that. But like, that he dragged me down. Now, my family did notice. They copped on straight away. Like, I wasn't going out. I used to go to the shop. I'd have to do my makeup before I go to the shop. You know, they've noticed. They noticed this. My brother even noticed it. He didn't recognise me walking up the road one day. I was drawn. I was down. They sat me down. They've asked me. They begged me to tell. I said, I just swore that there was nothing wrong. I lied to them so much, you know.
Because you knew to protect yourself from further savagery.
Exactly. And I was protecting my kids because I was afraid he was going to set my house on fire with me and them, you know, with me with them. So I was terrified, but that's all around domestic violence. People are afraid to come forward because there's so many different things, you know. It's shocking. Like, I've heard so many stories. People have came to me with their stories. You know, I know Jessica Burrows. She was on the Late Late Show. Her partner got 18 months or 19 months for breaking every bone in her face. That's not justice. It's ridiculous.
Okay, Kim, mind yourself. Who's promised this panic button?
I was told I would get one, yeah, I was told. They said nearer to enough to the time that they will get me the panic button. The police did say they will get be in contact, so hopefully, yeah, we'll get it sorted anyways.
Okay, okay. Look after yourself. And is this the first time you'll be a granny?
It is, yeah.
Okay, well done.
I'm a young granny.
And I tell you something else, you're a great granny. For your bravery.
Thanks so much, Joe.
For your bravery. You really, I think you will help.
And listen, anyone out there, yeah, if they're going through stuff, go look for Priscilla Grainer. She's brilliant.
Okay. We'll keep in touch. Thanks indeed.
Listen, thanks so much, Joe.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a million. Bye.
Incredible.
Bye.
That's Kim Fox. Two children, not with the man who savagely assaulted her, Paul Barry, who got 3 years, 2 months in prison for the assault, broken ribs, teeth smashed out of her mouth, fractured eye socket, and a savage bruising requiring plastic surgery. And she had the bravery, one, to say up front to the Gardaí that he had done it, because it is so difficult for women who are under pressure and under threat, under physical threat, to do it. And now has actually gone public on the national airwaves to say she's not afraid of him. And hopefully this will encourage other women to come forward. We put all the different addresses of Women's Aid, etc., up on our website over the weekend. Okay, thanks indeed for everyone. We'll be back on Monday. Today's programme was produced by Fergus Sweeney. The series producer is Rebecca Meehan. Research is by Ola Majakadumi, who's been brilliant to us all week. And Tommy O'Sullivan was on sound. And by the way, Kim wanted to say as well that the police, or the Gardaí, were absolutely brilliant. And we've heard that so often in these cases. Back on Monday. Stay safe, stay well, wash your hands, stand apart, wear a mask, wash your hands, stand apart, wear a mask. We'll be back on Monday. Catherine Thomas is next.